Today's shir is Zuchus for Refu Shleim for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Nun Vav, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. In our previous shir, based on the Machlokes in the Mishnah between Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria and the Chachamim, the question is, at what point of a couple being married does the husband have to pay a ksuba to the wife? The Chum opinion was that as soon as they had an erisin, there's an obligation to pay that ksuba, both the ksuba and, as we've been discussing in our shiurim, the taisus ksuba, the additional part that the husband added to the ksuba that he wanted to have paid to his wife. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria differentiated between the basic ksuba, which Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria agreed is paid from the time of erisin, and the taisus ksuba, which is only paid according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria from the time of the nesuin. And as we learned in our previous shir, the basis the Gemara suggested for Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria's opinion is because Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria follows an umdana. And from the meaning, we assume that the husband only agreed to pay this extra amount to his wife because they consummated the marriage. But until the marriage was not actually consummated, he did not feel that he should be giving, that he has to give the wife anything in addition than the basic suba. So says the Gemara, Yosef Chanina Kamed Rabbi Yanai, V'kam Halok Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Rabbi Yanai said that the Lachzak Elazar ben Azaria. Amalei, so he told him, Puk Krei Korach Bro. Go teach what you're saying outside of the Beis HaMedrash, because actually, and a Lachzak Elazar ben Azaria. And I saw that the Sefer Yefei Einayim quotes the Karban HaOdah, who explains that what he meant to say was that he was, that Rav Chanina was a Baal Kirei. Rav Chanina, being a Baal Kirei, spent his time in the base of Knesset, learning from the Sefer Torah, doing Kriyas HaTorah. And what he was telling him was that you're much more qualified to be a Baal Kirei, but not to be someone who teaches Halacha. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bravdimi Mishim Rabbeinu, the Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azaria. Amar Rav Nachman Mishmul, Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azaria. Rav Nachman, the day Amar Rav Nachman himself actually held, then Halacha Rav Elazar ben Azaria. Says the Gemara, Avgav the Lot, Rav Nachman. Even though Rav Nachman had said a very sharp declaration, whoever will follow the opinion of Elazar ben Azaria, this is what happened to him, and it was Losh and Klala. Says the Gemara, Fila Hachi, even though he used this strong language, the Halach is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And the Rashba explains that what he meant to say was that if somebody, from here we see that if somebody paskins, if somebody follows a specific opinion, if we don't have a way of disproving him that he's completely incorrect, we cannot stop him from following that opinion. And therefore the Gemara is saying that even though Rav Nachman was so opposed to anyone paskening like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, he did not have the ability to stop anybody from following that way. And says the Gemara, Halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, the Halacha Lemaisis Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And I saw that the Yerushalmi says that why does the Gemara use the wording Halach Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria? Says the Gemara that sometimes in Halacha, there's a concept Halacha, that the Halacha follows a certain opinion. However, Ve'ein Mayrim Kain, we don't publicly pronounce that that's the Halacha. Says the Gemara that not only is the Halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, but Halacha L'maisa, we publicly announce that that is the Halacha. But now ask the Gemara, by Ravin, Nichnas al-Chuppah v'loi Navala, if a woman had Chuppah, would never had Bia, the husband died before there was a Bia, or the husband divorced her. Mahu, what will Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah hold in that case? Is she entitled to the entire ksuba or not? Do we say that he was beer koina? The fact that they had a chuppah shows that they certainly consummated the marriage enough that she should get the whole ksuba, or beer koina. The only thing that makes, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that she should get the entire ksuba, including the Taisus ksuba, is if they actually had a bia. And here, they didn't actually have, an actual bia. He says that they only had a chuppah. And since they were not, they did not have an actual bia, maybe she doesn't get the whole chuppah. Based on this Gemara, the Gemara speaks about a woman who only had a chuppah, and the Gemara questioning, as we're going to see, the Gemara is going to speak about why did they not have a bia. Says the Tashma, the Tani Rabbi Yosef, Lekosov law. If Rabbi Yosef teaches in a brisa that the reasoning for the laws of Nazaria that she doesn't get the Taisus Ksuba only when there was an Asuan, for he says, Lekosov law, Ella Alchibas Laila Rishon. He wrote this extra part because they're going to have the first night together. So says the Gemara. That's what Rabbi Yosef explained in the Braisa. So the Gemara explains. If we're going to say it's the chuppah that creates that special bond between the husband and the wife, and that's why she'll get the Tosfos Ksuba Koina, that is what is meant when Rabbi Yosef said Laila Rishon. It's referring to the chuppah that takes place on the first night of their marriage. Asked, however, comments the Gemara, Eliyamet Chibas Bia Koina, that the fact that to take consideration is the Bia, asked the Gemara, that Bia doesn't only take place on the first night. Bia Belaila Rishonisa, does Bia only take place on the first night of the marriage? Mekam Ve'elech Leisa, of course, a husband and a wife continue having relations for the entire duration of their marriage. And therefore, it must mean that it speaks about chuppah. Says the Mar Elamai chuppah. So you're saying that when the Braisa, in explaining Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, speaks about a chuppah, it must be that the Braisa is speaking about the first night, the chuppah. Ask the Gemara, and the Braisa is calling chuppah Chibas Laila Harishon. Ask the Gemara, chuppah b'layla isa b'yamama lesa? Does a chuppah only take place by night and not by day? That when you say that the Braisa, when it uses the words chuppah, it must be speaks about Laila, must be speaking about chuppah because chuppah takes place by night? Says the Gemara, ulatameich. Ask the Gemara, so you're saying that when the word chuppah is used, when it says Laila, means bia. Ask the Gemara, bia b'layla isa, does bia only take place at night? Or b'yamay malesa, does bia never take place during the day? V'amar Rava, didn't Rava say that imhoye b'bayis ofel, if a husband and a wife are in a home which is dark, then mutter, you're allowed to have bia even by day. The Gemiri quotes the Gemara in Masechta Nida that says the Yisrael Kedoshim, the Klal Yisrael are a very holy people, and because Klal Yisrael are very holy people, they don't do bia by day. And the Gemara explains there are two reasons why bia is not done by day. One is Shema Yira Dover Maguna Beishtai. He said maybe because it's by day and he could see his wife, he'll see something unpleasant about her. V'atayra Amran, the Torah says, V'haftal Reach Kamaicha. One is supposed to love his wife. And causing that his wife should be seen to him in a way that she won't be looked upon favorably is a violation of V'haftal Reach Kamaicha. And the other reason is that chuppah is supposed to be done, b'tznius, in a modest fashion. And doing bia during the day represents, says the Gemara, a lack of modesty. Says the Gemara, Halakasha. But if it's the room is dark, then all these considerations don't exist. So ask the Gemara, why are we saying that when it's, why are you saying, when you say Laila Rishin, it must mean Bia, Bia can be done by day. Answers the Gemara, Aruch Aruch Mashmalon. The Torah speaks about the usual manner. And usually, Bia is done by Laila. Ela Chuppah, but Chuppah is not necessarily done by night. So how could you say the Laila Rishin means Chuppah? Kasha, how could you explain it that way? Answers the Gemara, using the word Laila for Chuppah, says the Gemara, is not something that is a difficulty. Because says the Gemara, Chuppah nami lo kasha. Using the word Laila in reference to Chuppah is not an issue. For says the Gemara, Arach Arach Kamash Malan. The Pyre is telling us the way things are normally done. And the way it normally Chuppah is, the Chuppah is done by night. Because usually the Bia is done right after the Chuppah, and therefore we do the Chuppah by night. And Tosfos says what the Gemara does, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that a Chuppah has to be by night. That's not the intention of the Gemara. But rather, Tosfos says that what the Gemara means to say is that since the purpose of the Chuppah is to ultimately lead to a Bia, and Bia is normally done, as we just learned in the Gemara, at night. So that's the proof. That's why Chuppah is also referred to as Laila. But the Yavetz disagrees. And the Yavetz says that the proper time to do a Chuppah is to do a Chuppah by night. Because since the purpose of the Chuppah, it has to be a Chuppah Haroi LeBia. We're going to speak in the Gemara soon about somebody doing a Chuppah when Bia is, when Bia cannot be done. The question is that considered a proper Chuppah? So the Gemara is teaching us that just like the Chuppah is supposed to be done, just like the Bia is supposed to be done at night, therefore the Bia, the Chuppah, should also be done at night. And therefore, there the Ramshik discusses that there are some that have a minig that they specifically do the Chuppah at night. Not everybody agrees with this, and the Pesach Tshuva already says there were many places that the Chuppah was done by day. Ask the Gemara, again, in trying to understand the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that only after Nisuin, when the marriage is consummated, is the wife entitled to the, not just the ksuba, the basic ksuba, but she's also entitled to the Tosfos ksuba. So ask the Gemara, Bayer Ravashi, Nichnas l'chuppah upir sanida. A woman had a chuppah and then she became a nida. Mahu. What will Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah hold? If he says that as long as there's a chuppah, that entitles the woman to the entire ksuba, maybe that was said by chuppah, the chazil bia, that the chuppah could ultimately lead to a bia, because the wife was not a nida. Av a chuppah de loy chazil bia, a chuppah where the kala is a nida loy, such a chuppah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will hold, does not lead, cannot lead to bia, and therefore doesn't entitle her to a Tosfos ksuba. Oidoma, perhaps the Gemara says, Loishna, it doesn't make a difference. So the Rishonim make a very interesting observation. First, the Gemara, Rav Ashi first discussed about Chenisa L'Chuppah without being a Nida, and then spoke about a woman that's a Nida. So say many Rishonim that if the woman was a Nida before the Chuppah, that wouldn't be a question. In that case, she certainly would not get the Tosfos Ksuba until she's able to have relations. The Gemara says the Ritva is specifically referring to a situation where she had a Chuppah, and at the time of the Chuppah, she wasn't yet a Nida. But what happened was, after the Chuppah, before they could consummate the marriage, she became a Nida. So now the question is, on one hand, she had the Chuppah. So that should be considered that she deserves the Tosfos Ksuba. On the other hand, that she became a Nida and that prevents it from happening, that she can't have the relation, and maybe that prevents her from being able to get the Tosfos Ksuba. And what happened over here, Rashi explains, that he died before he could ever have relations. He died, and therefore the question is, since they couldn't have had relations, what would be the halacha? Says the Mordechai, this entire Gemara is speaking about a case where she had the chuppah, and then she became a nida after the chuppah. But she had it in the time of a veset. We know that women have a veset. That's the time where their period is expected to come. And when a woman is experiencing the time that her period is supposed to come, that's when there's a concern, and since the husband is aware that that is likely to happen, so the connection that has formed at a chuppah is limited in that type of situation. But if the woman had a chuppah, and she was, says the Mordechai, and she wasn't a nida at the time of the chuppah, nor was it the time of a veset that her period was expected to come, but she did get her period after the chuppah, since at the time of the chuppah, she wasn't a nida, and she wasn't expected to become a nida, says the Mordechai, under those circumstances, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would hold that there's a full connection created at the chuppah, and she's entitled to the Tosfos Ksuba as well. The Rosh, however, has a different approach to this Gemara. The Rosh says that our Gemara is referring to a situation that she was actually a nida already before the chuppah, but the husband wasn't aware of that, and he thought that she's not a nida. And now the question is that indeed, obviously, this chuppah cannot lead to a bia because she's a nida, and she can't have a bia until she actually becomes tahor. But since in the husband's mind, at the time of the chuppah, she was not a nida, so he intended that she's becoming his full-fledged wife. Since he's intending that she's becoming his full-fledged wife, that is enough, says the Rosh, that he should be considering her as full-fledged wife and give her the Tosfos Ksuba as well. But says the Rosh, in a case that she became a nida after the chuppah, says the Rosh, in my mind, that isn't a question. In my mind, certainly such a woman is deserving of the entire ksuba because the chuppah was 100% proper chuppah. Says, Hiv Eger asks an interesting question. What would be the halacha if the chuppah was on the last day of the Zayin Nekiyim? And what the halacha then is, that night shall go to the mikvah. Do we say that on one hand, at the moment of the chuppah, she couldn't have bia because she's still doing the Zayin Nekiyim, she's still unable to go to the mikvah and obviously therefore not be able to have relations with her husband? And therefore everybody will agree that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, she's not entitled to the Tosfos Ksuba? Or do we say that yes, right this moment, when the chuppah is taking place during the Zayin Nekiyim, at this last day of the Zayin Nekiyim, they can't have bia. But right after night, she'll go to the mikvah and they'll be able to have bia. That perhaps, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, is enough that even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would agree that she's considered a full-fledged wife. And he says that since, he paskins, since at that moment, they can't have bia, the fact that imminently or soon they'll be able to have bia, it's certainly considered a chuppah that doesn't give her the right to get the full ksuba at that point. Says the Chasam Sofer, the Chasam Sofer disagrees with his father-in-law. He says, if it's certain that night they'll be able to have bia, the fact that right now they can't have bia doesn't, since they could have that night bia, and bia, as we learned earlier, is only supposed to take place at night, says the Chasam Sofer, that chuppah will give her the right to get the whole ksuba. However, says the Chassam Sofer, it depends when the chuppah actually takes place. The Chassam Sofer says, if the chuppah takes place at night, so since the chuppah takes place at night, at the time that the chuppah is taking place, she could go to the mikveh. Obviously, she's not going to the mikveh this very moment because she's in the middle of her wedding. But right after the chuppah, she'll go to the mikveh. But at the time that the chuppah is taking place, she could already go to the mikveh. Says the Chassam Sofer, under those circumstances, the chuppah gives her even the Taisus Ksuba. He says, but if the chuppah is taking place by day, and she'll only be able to go to the mikveh at night, even though it's going to be already that night, but at the moment the chuppah is taking place, she cannot yet go to the mikveh, because a woman can't go to the mikveh until the night after the Zayin Nekiyim end. So since at that moment she can't go to the mikveh, says the Chassam Sofer, then I would agree that that chuppah doesn't give her the Taisus Ksuba. We learned in the Mishnah, when we read the Aymar, we learned that, of course, the amount of the ksuba for a psula is masayim, is 200 zuz, but the husband could write such a document, and she could write a receipt that I got a mana, I got half of it. And the same by almana, where the ksuba is $100, and she'll write that she got 50. Ask the Gemara, so what does that mean? That you're writing a shoiver. She's writing a receipt. Ask the Gemara, the Sava Rabbi Yehuda, the Kais for shoiver. Is it Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that writing receipts is halachically acceptable? Well, Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Mi Shapara Mixas Choivoi. The Mishnah discusses a situation where somebody paid off part of his debt. So we know if somebody owes money, so he pays off his debt, and he gets back the document, the loiva pays the malva the debt, and the malva gives him back the shtar that indicates that he has money. But here he didn't pay off the entire debt, he paid back just part of the debt. So now we have a very serious problem. The malva doesn't want to give back the loiva the shtar, because the malva says, you still owe me some money. The loiva doesn't want the malva to be holding on to the shtar, because the body of the shtar writes that he owes the entire debt. So the Meiri says what would be the best solution in such a situation is that they should leave the shtar in the control of a third party. But Agamar is referring to a situation where there is no such third party. Rav Yehuda Omer Yachlif. The first shtar should be torn up and they should write a new shtar. But they shouldn't write a receipt. Why? Because the Rabbi Yehuda explains that a receipt is something which is detrimental to the loiva. Because from now on, the loiva has to hold on to that receipt. And Chazal did not want to cause that the loiva should have to do so. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Yichtav Shaver, Rabbi Yosef says, we should write a receipt. And the loiva will have the receipt for the amount that he paid. So, ask the Gemara. Now, in that Mishnah, we've learned that Yehuda does not agree to being able to write a shoiver. And yet, in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that if the wife is moichel to the husband part of the payment of the ksuba, what he should do is that she should write a shoiver. How could Rabbi Yehuda agree to a shoiver? Answers the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yirmiya, when Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said that you should write a shoiver, it's kisheshavra the mitaychai. It's not that there's a new document written. If there's a new document written, that means that you're going to cause somebody to have to hold on to a document that he wasn't responsible to hold on to till now. But here you'll write the shoiver in the body of the ksuba. And Ritva and Meiri discuss exactly where should that shoiver be written. They write that it can't be written below the signature of the Edom, because then you don't have the Edom signing to that part. And any document that doesn't have Edom signed to it has no halachic meaning. And furthermore, it shouldn't be written on the top of the shtar, Because you can't write a receipt about a transaction in the shtar before the shtar actually indicates what the transaction was all about. And therefore they explain, we should have the body of the ksuba written, and below the body of the ksuba we should have this appendix that talks about the shiver, the woman saying that she got half, and then you'll have the Adam sign. Abaye says a different teretz to this question. The question being that our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting we write a shiver, yet we find Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree to shiverim. Abaye mafil tam ve'ein shiverim b'toichai. Even in a case where there is no special, when the receipt is not written into the body of the ksuba, but Mishnah mahasam, in the case where the loiver paid off part of his debt, vade pare, the loiver paid off part of the debt. What do we want to give him now? We want to give him a receipt for that amount that he paid. And now we need to be concerned. Dilma Merchas Tavata. We'll give the loiver that shiver. We'll give the loiver that receipt and it'll get lost. The malva is holding on to the document with the entire amount. And the loiver will be in a bad place. Mapakle, the shtara. The malva will present the shtar, v'had the gav v'zemnen achrina, and he'll collect the entire debt another time. Hacha, but in our case, vadi yavla, the husband is going to be very happy. Milsa ba'amah hida amrlei. What happened in our Mishnah was, he didn't really give her anything. They made an agreement, the husband and the wife, that even though the chazal obligated him to write a ksuba of Messiah, she's writing him a receipt for half the money. So she's doing him a favor. And now what does he have to do? He has to hold on to that receipt. So says the Gemara, inatri. If she holds on to the receipt, great. If he holds on to the receipt, great. Vila inatri, but if he doesn't hold on to it, the only one that's going to lose out is Iudav Sinafshe, that I'll have to pay the entire amount. And therefore, since he's going to have to pay the entire amount, it's to his detriment not to hold on to it. But if he doesn't hold on to it, so he'll pay the woman the entire amount which he really is deserving. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Abaye Loi Amar Kreb Yirmiya. Abaye didn't give the same teretz of Rav Yirmiya, that the shiver is written into the ksuba itself. Because if that's the case of our Mishnah, then the Mishnah should have said that that's where the shiver is, that the shiver is written into the ksuba itself. And the fact that Lord Tani Shaiver Samataychai, the fact that the Mishnah did not say so, is an indication that that is not the case of our Mishnah. El Rabbi Yirmiya asked the Gemara, "My Tamalay Amakabaya, what is it that you say that Abaya's teretz that the husband has every reason to hold on to the Shaiver, because otherwise he'll have to pay the entire ksuba, and as far as we're concerned, that's perfectly fine." Says the Gemara, "Gzerim Shem Hachem Shem Shaiver the Alma." Says the Gemara that actually, says Rabbi Yirmiya, Abaye's reasoning is very sound, explains Rabbi Yirmiya. But even though Abaye's reasoning explains Rabbi Yirmiya is very sound, still, this will be a case where a shiver is written. And says Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yehuda, when he says Ein Kais Fin Shiver, meant to say a halacha that applies throughout Shas. And throughout Shas, as we've been learning, shivrim, a receipt, come with specific issues. So even though this case is different than everywhere else, and in this case, those concerns don't exist, Chazal didn't want to make different rules. And they said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a shivrim should never be written. So continues the Gemara. Our Mishnah said that the woman could write the shivrim. And like that, he won't have to pay the entire amount. But says the Gemara, from learning the Mishnah, we see Tama the Kosov, because he wrote the Shiver, she wrote the Shiver, she wrote his Kabalti. Ava Peh, if all that happened was that she said, I'm Moichel the Ksuba, she says to him, I'm Moichel the payment, Loi, that is inadequate. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that this that we're saying that Mechila Al Peh doesn't work is only on the Iker Ksuba, on the basic Ksuba, that the Chazal required. But says the Shulchan Aruch, when we speak about The Tosfos Ksuba that we've been speaking about so much in our Shiurim, says the Shulchan Aruch, there everybody agrees that Mechila Al Peh will be sufficient. But ask the Gemara, why, if she said it Al Peh, is it insufficient? Amai, Dovim Meshav Mamon. This is a financial situation. This is a financial issue. And Shemini Rabbi Yehuda Da'amar, and we know it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says, Dovim Meshav Mamon, if somebody has a financial transaction, Tanai Kaim, and they attach a Tanai to it, it's perfectly fine. So why should it not be acceptable? The Tanya. And the Gemara brings a Raya to this Halacha. Haimel Isha, if somebody, as he marries his wife, says to her, Hare at mekudeshesli, amnash einli alaych, she'er, I don't have to support you, ksus v'oino, kareze mekudeshes, or Tanai batal. The Kedushin is a Kedushin, but the Tanai is not valid, Divrei Rameya. Because Rameya holds that this is considered Masna Mashikos B'Torah. To make a condition which is contrary to what the Torah says, the Halacha is Tanai Batal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Davishim Mamon, when we speak about the share, the support that he has to support her, the Ksus, which means he has to give her clothing, there the Halacha is Tanayim Koyim. That the Tanai is valid. Why? Because those parts of the marriage are financial situations, and since they're financial situation, you have a right to be Meichel the Chiyiv, like any financial situation. Ask Rav Shimon Rizovsky. But we have a rule throughout Shas that you can't make transactions about a Dovah Shalom B'Olam. And these obligations, here we're talking about the Erisin. The obligation to support, the obligation to give clothing only comes after the Nisuin. So asks Rav Shimon Rizovsky Zatzal, how could that Tanai be a valid Tanai about something that's not Bala Olam? So he explains, based on a Rajbo, he says that this is not a Mechila. Mechila means that if you owe me something, I can forgive you that obligation. Here, it's what's known as siluk. Siluk means that I'm taking away that responsibility from you. That could be done even something that is even on something on Dovah Shalom B'Olam. Says Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, why, back to our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says that the woman could be Moichel, part of the ksuba obligation. Ask the Gemara, why does it have to be in writing? Why can't it be al peh? Answers the Gemara, ksav Rabbi Yehuda, ksuba the Rabbanan. The entire obligation of ksuba, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is only mid Rabbanan. And now says the Gemara, v'cham asu chizlik devreim, yois mishal Torah. Chazal were even stricter about their rules than they were about the Raisa. And therefore, when we speak about a Doraisa, the halacha would be that you can make a Tanai and it would be perfectly acceptable. Here, when we're speaking about a Drabbanon, that is insufficient, just making a verbal condition and has to be written to be valid. Ask the Gemara. Now the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when we're dealing with Drabbanons, Chazal were more machmir with Drabbanons than Chazal were more machmud rabbonons than midrashes. Ask the Gemara. The halacha is that if a woman could bring into her marriage different types of assets, and one of the type of assets that a woman could bring into the marriage is nechsim milog. Ask the Gemara. Very paris. The bringing paris into a marriage is that the husband eats the paris of those nechsim milog. The actual property remains the wife's. He just gets Paris or rental income, etc. That rule is a drabbanon, and we don't find that lawyer of the drabbanon chizik. Even though it's a drabbanon, there's no concept that the chum also chizik devreim yosh mishal taira the tanan, because the Mishnah teaches us if a husband wrote his wife din udvarim ainli ben chasayich, he gives up the right to Paris that Chazal gave him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer la'olam hu'aychal peri peris. he even though he wrote that, the halacha is that if the woman gets the peiris, and she gets, and then she took those peiris and reinvested them, and now the peiris of those peiris, those are called peiris, that the husband is entitled to. The only way he completely forgives his rights is at shiichtav law, din advarim, ein li b'nechosayich, b'perisayim at oilam. Then he completely gives up right. The kaimelon, and the Gemara we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem on daf pei gimel amud aleph teaches us that what is the definition when the Mishnah said akoysev? He says oimer, just saying it is enough. And so we see from here that even though it's a derabbanan, writing it, saying a condition is adequate. And we don't say that since it's a derabbanan, it has to be put into writing. So why in our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda say, when the woman wants to give up, wants to forgive the obligation of part of the ksuba, it has to be actually written, and a verbal declaration would be inadequate? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya. The difference between the ksuba and the peiris is l'kol yesh ksuba. Every woman is entitled to ksuba. V'loy l'kol yesh peiris. Not every woman has peiris. Only a woman who brings nuchsi melug into the marriage. Says the Gemara, where do we have this concept that Chazal, also chizlik devrayim, but milsa de shkicha, and something that happens all the time? That's where we find that over barabon and chizlik, Chazal wanted to make sure that whatever they instituted should be kept very strongly. And if you want to change it, you're going to have to do it in writing. However, nichsi malug, or milsa de loy shkicha, they're loy of the barabon and chizlik. Ask the Gemara, harei chamorim. Donkey drivers who used to bring their produce on top of the donkeys. And we have a question if they took off Trumas and Maestros properly. And as we discussed in our previous year, because of that concern, Chazal instituted the rule of Demai. Demai says that whenever you buy or receive produce from an Amoritz, you have to write, you have to take off new Trumas and Maaser Demai. Now this, Shrichi, that you should have this type of situation, is very common. Yet, says the Gemara, Loyav de Barabon and Chizik. Chazal didn't, we don't find that Chazal strengthened that law. Where? The Tanan, the Mishnah says, Chamorim, the people who are bringing this produce, Shenichna Sili'ir, they came into the city, Vama Echad Mehem, and one of these drivers said, Shali Chadosh, my produce is new. And Rashi explained that the definition of chadosh is not the traditional definition of chadosh that we have throughout Shas, that we know that produce that was planted after Pesach may not be eaten until next year Pesach, and that's called chadosh. Rather, chadosh means that it's newly cut. And something that's newly cut just is not completely dry and is not the same quality. But he says, my colleague's produce, Yoshon, is higher quality. Shali ain't a masukin. My produce did not have Trumas and Maisus removed. Shachaveri masukin. My colleague's was. Ain't a monim. They are not trusted. Yehuda, I'm in the monim. So we see that according to Yehuda, that something that Shchiach, here we see that even though Chazal instituted the rule of Demai, and since it's a rule of Chazal, of Demai, Chazal should have been very particular about it, yet here Chazal say that this person could say that my peiris are not properly taken off Trumas and Maaser, and there they were. And even though, as all the Rishonim explain the Gemara, say there's a chashash of Goimun, that maybe these two donkey drivers made a deal between themselves. In this city, I'll say your produce is good and mine is inferior. And in the next city, we won't say so. So we have every reason not to believe them. Still, Rabbi Yehuda is lenient and say that if he says so, we believe him. Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaya, vadid devrayim. When we're speaking about a takana de rabbanon, which is a hard and fast, firm rule, that's where of the rabbanon chizik. And therefore, the ksuba, which is a vade de devrayim, Chazal were very particular about. But the whole rule of the mai is only a derabbanan. It's only a suffix de devrayim. There we don't have the rule of the derabbanan tikkun. And the way the Rishonim explain that since roiv amaratzim asrim hein, really the reality is that most amaratzim do take off trumas and maisris. So therefore, this is a weak concern. And since it's only a weak concern, that's why Chazal were lenient and were able to trust people them. Rav Amar, Rav says, but the Maya Kilu. It's a special rule by the Mai. In other words, what Rav is saying is not necessarily by all the Rabbonans, even a Rabbonan that's based on a Suffolk, are we lenient. Only by the Mai, given what we just said a moment ago, because Roiv Amayaratzim Ma'asrim Haim, that's why Chazal were more lenient. The Yerushalmi says a different explanation. He says that people need produce. People need this produce to survive. This is what they ate. And therefore, since it's something that is so critical for our life, for being able to exist, that's why Chazal were lenient with this takana. Remeya Mekala Poiches, anyone who deducts from Psula Masaimzos or from Amona Amona, it's Beiznus. Says the Gemara, he said, Kala Poiches. What's the Mishnah trying to, what's Rameyah trying to teach us with those words? He's trying to teach us, says the Gemara, Afilu B'Tanah. Even was, if there is such a Tanai made up between the husband and wife, the Tanai is null and void. Al-Makasavar, it's obvious that the opinion of Rameyah is that Tanah bottle, that anybody who makes the Tanai against what it says in the Ksuba, the Tanai is null and void. Visla, and the woman will get the entire amount written in the Ksuba. The Kivin the Amala, and even if he said that you're going to get less Lech Elamana, somebody married a Basula who's entitled to a Ksuba of Masayim, and he said, I'm only giving you a mana, the law is samchadata. She never intended that she never intended to accept a smaller payment. And the reason she never intended to accept a smaller payment is because she wanted to follow what Chazal said. Chazal said a woman is entitled to an entire ksuba. Ask the Gemara, Vashemil Arameya, Dharmar, Rameyah says, "Kol mashna mashikos b'tayra tanah batal." If somebody makes a tanai against what it says in the Torah, the tanai is null and void. Ha b'derabbanan, but if it's in the rabbanan situation, tanah kayim. So here, the ksuba asked the Gemara, "Is a tanai is a derabbanan? So why is Rameyah opposed to this tanai?" Answers the Gemara. Rameyah's opinion is that the ksuba is deraisa, and the Rishonim explain that when Rabbi Yehuda says, Rameyah says, Ksuba deraisa, it doesn't mean that that the mount of the Ksuba is deraisa. What the Gemara means to say is that the concept of Ksuba is deraisa. And moreover, says the Ramban, from here we see that not only does Rameyah hold a Ksuba is deraisa, but Rameyah is going to hold that a Ksuba is deraisa not just by Basula, but a Ksuba is a deraisa even by Almana, because our Mishnah is speaking about Almana as well. Tai Ramei Omer, Kol HaPeichs L'Psula M'Masayim, Ul Almana Mona, Harez Zu Bilas Nus, it's considered a Bilas Nus, because it's like a husband and wife who are living without a Ksuba. Rav Yosef Omer Rishoi, a husband has the right to deduct from the mount. Rav Yehuda Omer Rotsa, Kaisel Psar, Kaisel Psula Shtar Shemasayim, Vika Sevaslois Kabalti Lchamana. Well, Amana, he writes the Ksuba that says Mana, Vika Sevaslois Kabalti Lchamishim Zos. Ask the Gemara, the Sover of Yossi Rishoi, does Rabbi Yossi actually hold that a husband may deduct from the amount that is obligated to be in the Ksuba? Vermini, it says, in a Braisa, Einois Ksubas Ishimatatlin. If somebody wants to designate assets from which he's going to pay off the ksuba. He may not designate metatlin, mimnei tikkun olam, because metatlin are easy to get lost. Real estate can never get lost, but metatlin can get lost. And not only could they get lost, their price fluctuation on metatlin was very common. Amar Rav Yosi, v'chima tikkun olam yesh bezu, v'aloi ein ktsuvim. The amount of the metatlin is never firm, and therefore upaychsin. And so we see. Let's understand this price. It says the Gemara Tanakama ein oisim kamar. The Tanakama also says. In other words, the Gemara's question is, what's the machlokes in this price between Rabbi Yosi and the Tanakama? They're both agreeing that we shouldn't designate metatlin for a ksuba. Says the Gemara. This is the way to understand the brisa. When am I saying that you can't designate metatlin for ksuba? When the husband did not take responsibility that the wife will get her full amount of ksuba. If the husband took on that responsibility, then we don't have to worry by metatlin. Comes Rabbi Yosi and says, kikibel alav achrayis. Even if the husband took on responsibility, amai oisim, why would you allow them to use metatlin? V'loi ein ktsuvim, the metatlin are not firm in their price, or pechsin. And since this is what the husband used to designate for payment of the ksuba, Rabbi Yosi says, I'm going to be concerned. So, says the Gemara, hashta, amai hosam, in the case of the metatlin, where he designated metatlin, and not only did he designate metatlin, he took upon himself a chrayis. There's still a concern that maybe these metatlin will go down in value, and maybe the husband won't have any other assets from which to pay the ksuba, and that's why Rabbi Yosi is still concerned. Chayish Rabbi Yosi. Hocho. In our mission, in our case, the brice that we began, where Rabbi Yosi said, Rushoi, that he allowed to deduct from the amount of the ksuba, the vade kapoksa, like koshkein, shouldn't Rabbi Yosi be strict? And how does the brisa say that Rabbi Yosi says you could deduct? Answers the Gemara, hachi hashtam, hasam la yada de tachel, hacha yada v'kamachla. Says the Gemara, there's a very big difference when somebody knows what they're getting into and somebody does not know what they're getting into. In the case of our Gemara, when somebody is deducting from the amount of the ksuba, the woman knows that that's what's the situation. And the woman accepted upon herself. And Rabbi Yosi says that if the woman accepts upon herself such a situation, it's halachically fine. In the case where the ksuba writes the entire amount of the ksuba, and then the husband designated metatlin, and now we need to be concerned, well, maybe the value of those metatlin are going to go down. Maybe the metatlin will no longer be in place. Even if the husband accepted upon himself a chrayis, the woman is expecting the full face value of what she's entitled to. And if she's not going to get it, and that's what she's relying on. And if there's a possibility that, says Rabbi Yosi, that might not happen, says Rabbi Yosi, we have to be strict. And therefore the two cases cannot be compared to each other. And even though Rabbi Yosi holds that a woman can accept a deducted amount of the ksuba, the case of metatlin, she doesn't accept.